I'm Martin Crucifix, and I'll read the opening 45 lines of my translation of Rilke's 10th Duino elegy, about 5.5 minutes in length. Announcing his completion of the elegies to Lou Andreas Salome on the 11th of February 1922, Rilke recalled that the opening dozen lines of this elegy of the 10th had been written at Castle Duino almost exactly 10 years before. And these opening lines take the form of a hope to survive the fierce inspection of the projected sequence and to come out singing in celebration. But that's only to be achieved by translating suffering, even the reality of death, into a more positive experience so that we see it as one season of the human year. The 10th elegy then takes an unprecedented turn. Its mode alters into something more like a topographical allegory. There's an angry, satirical tone as Rilke targets modern Western culture's denial of the reality of death. He uses the German word Klage, lament or complaint, to represent, to personify a more accepting attitude towards death. I translate that word with keening. 10th Duino Elegy. One day, at the close of this fierce inspection, that I might sing out in celebration and glory to affirming angels, that none of the clear-struck hammers of my heart might fail to sound on slack, doubtful or broken strings, that my streaming face be more radiant, these inconspicuous tears bloom. Oh, then you will be dear to me, you nights of grieving. Though I did not then kneel more deeply, more willingly in surrender, nor lose myself in your loosened hair. How we squander our pains, how we gaze beyond them into the miserable distance to see if there is not, perhaps, an end. Yet they are winter leaves, our dark evergreen, one season of our secret year, not only a season, but a site, settlement, camp, soil, and resting place. Of course, the byways of grief city are strange, where, in the false silence born of too much noise, swagger the plumped-up dregs from the casting mould of emptiness, the gilded racket, the splintering memorial. Oh, how an angel would crush this market of consolation without trace, and the church alongside it, bought, ready-made, clean, closed, disappointing as a post office on Sunday. Further out, though, the frill and flounce of the fair. Freedoms, swingboats, enthusiasms, jugglers and divers. The prettified good luck figures from the shooting gallery that wriggle and ring tinnily with the shot of some better marksman. So, from cheers to chancing it, he stumbles on, as stalls with all kinds of curiosities flaunt and drum and bawl. There is, for adults only, something special to see, how money multiplies in the roar, not just entertainment, money's genitalia, the lot, the business, uncut, educational, and will improve your performance. Oh, but just beyond that, behind the last board plastered with posters for never say die bitter that tastes sweet to drinkers so long as they chew fresh distractions with it, immediately beyond the board, right behind it, it gets real. Children play, and lovers hold each other seriously, out of the way, in the sparse grass, and dogs obey their nature. The young man is drawn further on. Perhaps he is in love with a young keening. Trailing her, he comes out into the meadows. She says, "It's far off. We live way out there.